C1G.
Number 17A.
Now, we tackle the second record of creation, and we must know that we consider it really from the right standpoint, namely not just as a history of error, which we contemplate, but that we always see that it is the first record of creation that enables us to interpret the second record of creation, because we can only interpret an erroneous story from the true story. Therefore, it must be the high spiritual facts that we have been considering in the first record that are now beginning to analyze, to uncover, and finally to annihilate the beliefs of the second record of creation. So it is always the spiritual facts of the first record of creation that will be important, though we are considering really the second record of creation, which means that we should not be mesmerized and hypnotized by the story of the second record of creation, but that we always should go out from that which is really in our understanding and written into our understanding with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. So that we always know that only the first record of creation is reality, is the real record, and that all the what is said about the second record is just showing the counterfeit beliefs. But we know that when we have to deal with error, that error says, I'm legion, there are thousands and thousands of beliefs of error, and yet here Mr. Zeddy presents the method of again reducing the multitudinous beliefs or forms of error to some fundamental noumenon concepts of error, so that if we understand the first record of creation, that with that we can really handle the noumenon of error and do not need really to handle all the so-called numberless forms of error. The second record of creation has the overall tone of truth and mind. It shows what is the truth about creation, and therefore the moment we call it truth, it naturally also shows its counterfeit, the erroneous, the false sense of creation. We have epitomized it in our study material as truth and mind, namely truth excluding the suppositional creation of error. So it is depicting now, if we understand the first record of creation, love and mind, to be the true record of creation, that excludes a wrong sense of creation. That's why it is actually truth that is working in the second record of creation and not error. Error is just brought forth from undercover through the uncovering of truth. Let truth uncover error in its own way. Is really here the bugle call, let truth uncover it, and not just that we uncover it, that we have our concept of error, but that we stay with the truth. If the second record of creation gives us the exact opposite, then we would have to see that the second record of creation unfolds in a sevenfold step step-by-step way. And so we first want to go over those big seven steps so as to see first in a great overall view the exact opposite of the first record of creation. I've tried to summarize that on the Appendix 3, which you have, and which I have handed out, that Appendix 3, which has the title Comparison of the First and Second Record of Creation, and it shows you in four columns, first the symbol of the second record of creation, then quickly the metaphysical meaning of it in a summary way, then the synonym of God, what it symbolizes as a counterfeit, and finally the metaphysical meaning of the first record, so that you have an overall view of the second record, the symbol, its metaphysical interpretation, and then the comparison with the first record of creation. So if you just take that Appendix 3 and we just flow quickly through it in order to give a main impact on the exactness of the story. I start out with the first step in the false record. There, the symbol of a mist, that the mist went up from the earth, was so to say the central symbol. Now we know that mist is a symbol for ignorance, an idea of mind, actually as a counterfeit of mind, whereas the first record of creation was let there be light, which had the metaphysical meaning of creative intelligence. So you can see here that the first day of creation has its counterfeit, that the light of the first day of creation has its counterfeit in a distorted sense of light as mistiness. If we take the second step in the story of the second record of creation, we come to Adam, which was formed out of the ground, and the breath of life was put into it. You can see the mingling of spirit and matter. And also, it is a story about the tree of knowledge, which again symbolizes the mingling of good and evil. So you get really here the metaphysical symbol for duality, for mingling of matter and spirit, of good and evil, which is, as we know, the counterfeit of spirit, because spirit is that which separates the opposites. Spirit is that which imparts understanding, which can separate that opposite. So you see the second day of the firmament, of the line of demarcation, has its counterfeit just in its very opposite, namely the mingling of opposites, the mingling of matter and mind, or matter and life, the breath of life, the mingling of good and evil. Then we come to the third stage, where we have the counterfeit of soul. The biblical story tells us about Adam that was put into the garden of evil, into body. We always know that soul is never in something, is never in a body, never in a person, never in any limited concept. And we know also that soul defines and names properly, whereas in the story of Adam, Adam began to name every living creature. He identified everything. So we have, as a metaphysical meaning, we have Adam in Eden is actually a corporeal identity, soul in body, with the bodily senses and the false sense of identification that goes with it. Whereas in the first record of creation, the third day was all about the true identity, about immortality, that identity is immortal, and about the true naming and right identification. Can you see the very exact opposite? That's the very first thing we have to become aware that really it is the first record of creation, the seven stages, that through a sevenfold order also analyzes and covers really the full sense of creation. We come then to the fourth step, where Adam fell into a deep sleep. You can see this is mesmerism, hypnotism, the very counterfeit of the signs of being, the isms, the theories. And what happened when we have the counterfeit of principle, that the system of principle is put apart, the rib was taken out of the system of the 24 ribs, which indicates metaphysically animal magnetism, which shows itself in its worst form, namely in division, in atomism, to take the system apart. So we always can say that as long as we study really Christian Science, not as a system, but where every sentence is a truth by itself, that is animal magnetism, and not Christian Science. It's the Adam dream that we then are studying in the textbook. We have a false approach to it. We approach it with a false mentality, with an atomistic mentality, where every rib, every sentence is taken out of context. Whereas in the fourth day of creation, we know that the fourth day of creation showed that power of government that unites everything into one system. In the fifth stage, we have now the serpent, and that asked Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, though it was predicted that that would be death, not life. And it showed itself first as nakedness. You see the counterfeit of the abundance and multiplication of life. So we have here a great demoralization instead of a soaring aspirations. We have the very opposites. Adam and Eve began to demoralize and decay. There was a sense of lack and oblivion instead of the abundance and the fullness of life as we have it in the fifth day. The sixth day of man is shown in the false record of creation as mortal manhood. Here mortal manhood is brought out through depicting Eve and Adam and Cain and Abel. The whole mortal family is depicted here as Eve, that has to bring forth in sorrow, in sickness. Adam, that has to till the ground. He is no more lord over the earth. He has lost his dominion. And Cain and Abel killing each other. Cain slays Abel. You have homicide. Yeah, say homicide instead of the true sense of manhood. Metaphysically, it depicts mortal consciousness, sinful manhood, slavery, condemnation, self-destruction of error, like with Cain and Abel. Instead of the sixth day of creation, which gave us that wonderful sense of universal consciousness, of a spiritual consciousness that embraces all perfection and gave to man dominion. Finally, there is a seventh stage, and in the Adam story it is said that even then, when Abel was killed, that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. You see, it was no more the unity of God and man that love brings out, where love is never without its object of manifestation. Now it's that separation from God and man. So he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. Nod means restlessness, the very opposite of the rest of the seventh day. So here, error is excluded, and we have a complete annihilation of error. Whereas in the seventh day, we naturally have the perfection, the rest, and the fulfillment. Can you see now, just in this one overall view, how actually the story in the second record of creation gives the exact opposite of the seven stages in the first record of creation? Now, this is only the rough line. We know that the 7 days of creation have subtones, that they develop through the subtones so that they can link up with the next day. And that very thing we will also see in the second record of creation, that we can see also the counterfeit of the subtones. And in this way, give a really an exact counterfeit. Well, that would actually bring us to the text as it flows. And we take again our epitomes that you have in the study material, the epitomes for the second part, which is also the second record of creation. And we just take that and see how the biblical symbolization gives the narratives for this metaphysical insight. So let's start with the story at the first stage. We call it now mind. How mind uncovers a false sense about mind as mind, mind as spirit, and mind as soul. That is the structure of the first day of creation, and this is counterfeited here in the Adam story. Our epitome first on that whole first tone, mind, is from ignorance or mystification arises a false creative sense. Can you hear the tone of mind? Mind is that which creates. Mind is intelligence. The opposite is ignorance, mystification. So you have a real creative sense that is counterfeited here. Its counterfeit runs through three stages, through three subtones. The Bible says, and in that one verse really is included all the three subtones, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And we can see right away that that creative ability starts from beneath and not from above. There went up a mist from the earth. Now, it isn't that it comes down from heaven and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, if we analyze that sense into its metaphysical meaning, we can see first mind. As what? As what the Bible says, there went up a mist from the earth. So you have, in its very first point, is that there is darkness and ignorance, and that darkness and ignorance really evolves a false creative sense. So our epitome there is that the darkness of ignorance, the mist of obscurity, evolves a false creative sense. We get now a man-made God sense, because we start from beneath, we start from ignorance, from our ignorance, and not from the revelation of mind, not from the intelligence of mind. We start right from the opposite, from our mistiness of thought. So there went up a mist from the earth. She explains how that mist really is a false sense, that it means obscurity, and that that is not the standpoint of God. It is mist, ignorance, mistiness, illusion, nothing. So whenever we start out from our thinking, we start out with a false creation, and we begin to build up a false creation. Therefore, always that which starts with human thinking will be wrong, except we start with our thinking from God and are only contemplating that which God knows. And if we were contemplating only that in our daily life from morning to night, what God knows, we really would be over the hump. But we don't do that. We are an Adam, and love to be an Adam, and stick to the Adam. And we start out with what we think, and how we look at things, and we talk about all these things. And we build up a wrong world, a wrong universe. When on earth are we learning the simple facts of being? To go out from mind. She says, mind is first, and mind is lost, and mind is first in power, and mind is first in conception, mind is first in everything. Why not start out from mind and stick to that standpoint? So that the second record of creation is not so far away from us. It seems to depict our very mortal way of being. And that's a good thing to realize and to admit to ourselves, so that we not always think, oh, well, you know that funny Adam story, I don't believe in it anyway, and anyway it's just a myth. So what about that? Well, we are the very embodiment of that Adam story. We go out from that mistiness of thought, from the indefiniteness of thought, and we go out from beneath, from the earth, from the mortal standpoint, and then happily build up a universe, and we are absolutely surprised when that universe isn't harmonious, and it is absolutely hell. So it isn't the Adam story to be blamed. We have to be blamed that we go along that Adam story. The second subtone is, our epitome reads like that, from a false creative sense arises the myth of a material creation. And you can see now mind as spirit, namely that the false creative sense, mind, which is mortal mind's creative sense, has its objectification as a matter, a material creation. So the Bible would say that there went up a mist from the earth, that's minus mind, and watered. You see, just that term watered means diluting. It means that we mix it up with its opposite, that we weaken, so to say, its substance, and watered, diluted, weakened, we get in, as we water it down, we always mix it, therefore there is always a sense of dualism coming in, the opposite of the onlyness of spirit, so that she said, from a mist arises the creation of matter, from duality we come to a material universe, not to the firmament where we separate. And so all is material myth instead of the reflection of spirit. Can you hear the tones? It's now mind creative. If that creative mind is diluted with an opposite, we really get a limited or a material sense of creation, and no more a reflection. The text goes on to mind a soul, which we have epitomized like this. This material mythology, mind, still the myth, involves idols or idolatry, a false sense of God. You know, at once, idolatry is the counterfeit of soul, because soul is identity, and the moment I limit that true sense of identity, I have an idol and idolatry. The record says, and watered the whole face of the ground. Face, you know, face is in the Bible always a symbol for soul, for identity, because one always identifies somebody through their face. So all through the Bible, face is a symbol for identity, and so the whole face of the ground was watered, diluted. So that identity of the Creator is diluted, and we have idols. So Mrs. Eddy speaks all about those idols, the false sense of God, about that the Phoenicians had the Baal, and the Moabites had the Chemosh, and the Amorites had Moloch, the Hindu, the Vishnu, and the Greek have the Aphrodite, and thousand other so-called deities. Can you see now the false sense of God is being shown forth here? And the Israelites constantly went after strange gods. And you know how we go after strange gods, how we dilute the sense of God by having our own sense of deity. So that is the very first tone of mind, and we can symbolize it like this.